take you back to Saturday morning.
Totally.
Pajama shirts, oversized bowls of Frosted Flakes.
Lucky Charms.
Where did the Smurfs go? They just Smurf off? Did they go to Smurf Stink? Did Gargamel finally crush them all into little blue splots on the forest floor?
I hope not.
Splots. I made up a word there. Splots. Well, it works for the Smurfs, though, I think. You can relax. The original series will soon be out on DVD, and a 3D movie is expected next year, reporter Terry Schultz explains.
Smurf along with me.
Even non-TV viewers couldn't escape their influence on youth culture, vocabulary, and joke-telling. The Smurfs took America by storm in the 80s with a cartoon series that won Emmys along with fans as the little blue imps laughed and played in their idyllic mushroom village, always a wee step ahead of the villainous Gargamel.
Stop all that happiness out here! I said stop it, stop it, stop it!
Yeah. It did stop in the early 90s when the Smurfs' human guardians decided the American market was getting oversaturated, so they brought the Smurfs home to their Belgian birthplace. The Smurfs began life in a comic strip created by Pierre Culliford, a Belgian cartoonist, 50 years ago. So are they having a midlife crisis? Au contraire, they're planning a comeback.
Oh my gosh, it's a Smurfademic!
But can they succeed? Unlike their 80s-era forebears, kids these days can play virtual tennis and drive virtual race cars, even steal them, on their TVs. It's hard to imagine them being mesmerized by these cutesy little creatures endlessly repairing their mushroom houses or picking flowers in the forest. But that's not something that worries the man in charge of global marketing for the Smurfs, Hendrik Koisman.
People like simple things because we are living in such a complicated, confused world. It's so hectic. The Smurf Village can be a good place to rest for a couple of minutes or hours.
Reaction to the relaunch may already be proving him right. And children like these youngsters in Berlin do indeed seem to be impressed with the simple life of the creatures they know as Schlümpfe. The Smurfs build all sorts of things for themselves, bridges and things like that, says 8-year-old Harun Sariusten. My favorite Smurf always has a pencil over his ear. He writes stories, shares 9-year-old Marlene Hunger. But there have been detractors over the years. Some Americans felt the Smurfs' communal village depicted a communist utopia. Others just felt it was too sickeningly sweet. But the most frequent complaint has been about the male-female ratio and gender roles. Papa Smurf makes all the big decisions, while Lovely Smurfette, the most prominent of just three females, does little more than run around in high heels. Hendrik Koisman says the Smurfs' world is getting a birthday makeover, acknowledging it needed one.
If you look at our society, there has been a dramatic change in the social and cultural environment, so we are thinking in that direction.
Most details of the changes are still secret, except for the fact that Smurfette will finally be getting some female company. The Smurfs are also hoping to have an impact outside the Mushroom Village. They've teamed up with UNICEF to raise money and awareness to help other little beings whose lives in the real world aren't all so, well, Smurfy.
Everybody in the house, make some noise!
That was Terry Schultz reporting from Brussels on the Smurfs. Well, that's it for the Bryant Park Project for this Thursday, February 21st. And I feel we've learned something today, Rachel, don't you?
I do. I learned what to do if you're having trouble controlling your kids. Super Nanny might put them in the naughty corner, but we say, just relax.
Don't you know, things will change, things will go your way. If you hold on for one more day.
We learned the difference between trademarks, copyrights, and patents. Now, trademarks, if you're associated with a phrase like, that's hot, you better get it trademarked. The BPP is going for this new catchphrase.
That was a good Rambo. How about a little kiss?
On a more serious note, we learned that cancer patients face a whole lot more than just health hurdles and may need a coach to help them navigate all the confusing information out there.
And finally, we learned it's hard to win a bike race if you can't find your bike. And it can be hard to find your bike in Alaska, even if you have a FedEx tracking number. Good luck to Jill Homer.
Good luck,
we
Jill.
Hope your bike shows up tomorrow in Alaska. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Come visit us on the web at npr.org/Bryant Park. We're there all the time. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.